Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Friday, June 10th, 2022. And hey, hopefully you got some good plans for the weekend here. I know the weather here in the Carolinas is pretty sweet down here. And I'm actually going on vacation next week. We're heading down to Folly Beach, South Carolina, which is kind of right near Charleston. So a lot of excitement here in our house as we're getting ready to take a trip. But we have some fun things to talk about here on the show. Today, we're going to be talking about Top Gun Maverick, the new season of Stranger Things, and a little bit of Summer Game Fest, which is the non-E3, I guess, is kind of starting to go on here, which don't forget, this Sunday is the big Xbox Bethesda event that's going to be happening. So we're kind of in that E3 season, even though E3 is not happening. I guess, you know, those of us who are gamers, we just still probably can always think of it as E3 time, right? But some fun things to talk about here on the show. But before we get rolling, as always, don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at Mark Turk, at MarkTurc. And of course, you can always follow or email me, email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. We actually last night recorded our third session of the Ballad of Clastonia, which is our D&D campaign that we're running. If you want access to that, you will find it in the regular feed on Monday. But if you want early access to it, want to listen to it right now, and you want to help support the show, you can find that link down below and find out how you can become a patron here for the podcast. So let's jump into Top Gun Maverick. My wife and I went this past Sunday, and you know, it seems to be basically just tearing up the charts. Like, so many people are going to see this movie. It's making a ton of money, and kind of, you know, unsurprisingly so, right? I mean, it's a Tom Cruise movie. Think what you want about Tom Cruise. The guy's movies always do fantastic. And I don't know how he does it, but that guy just does not age. Like, Tom Cruise looks exactly the same when you see him, to the point where, I mean, you see it in the trailers, you see the scene of him with all the new young pilots and all that on the beach, shirtless, and Tom Cruise just fits in with every single one of them. Like, I hope when I'm his age that, you know, I can look that damn good. It's just ridiculous. But as far as the movie, if you've ever seen the original Top Gun, you know, it, as a kid, I loved the movie. I loved the soundtrack. I had the game on the NES. It was like a game that I played all the time. And so Top Gun was a big deal, like when I was a kid. And you know, for a lot of people in the 80s, Top Gun was a big deal. And when you go back and watch it now, still a classic, right? But there's some cheese to it, you know, a little cheesiness to it. But I mean, a lot of the 80s movies are that way. So with Top Gun Maverick, like, you know, and it's one of those moments, and I think I even talked about it with Voltron, where like in your head you think of something, but when you actually experience it, it's kind of like, eh, where like the Netflix Voltron series was like how you think you remembered Voltron, that's how it was, or even He-Man was kind of the same way. This movie is almost near perfection of kind of that same deal, like how you remember it in your head, but yet they still kept that air of cheesiness to it. But that's what makes it, like, they completely just leaned into that aspect of Top Gun. And there's, you know, weird moments of long stares from the actors, or, you know, just weird little, not weird, but just, you know, funny little comments maybe that are said here and there. But it all serves the purpose of just being, or adding to just this great overall movie. I kind of came out of this movie, and this is kind of a weird analogy because movies are totally different. But if you've ever seen The Greatest Showman, like, that's a movie that's just like a good movie. Like, there's no, like, you know, major antagonist to the movie. There's no, you know, horrible language. I mean, I guess you can say Top Gun, they're dropping, you know, the S word, if you want to say, a couple times in there. But it's just a movie that anybody could see. Like, I would have no problems with my kids seeing the movie. I mean, they weren't with us when we went. It's a great movie. And I think, you know, that's what is appealing to so many people right now. Like, it's one of those things where, like, we just went through a tough 2 years, and now you have this just awesome blockbuster movie that you don't even need to think about. You're just like going in, and you have those memories of what the original Top Gun was, and knowing, you know, having the knowledge that many of these, or the majority of the scenes while they're in the planes, were shot with those actors literally in fighter jets, you know, fighting those G-forces and trying to act. And so all of that just comes together where it is like the perfect theatrical release. Like, if you're going to see this movie or are planning to see it, make sure you see it in the theater, because I'm sure it's still going to translate great onto TV. Many people, of course, have large screens nowadays, and it's still going to look great. But there's something about seeing this movie specifically in the theater with the loud noises of the planes and the jets and all that. And I mean, by the end, everybody in our theater, and this was a week after the movie had come out, were cheering at the end of the movie. Like, you can't help but get caught up in that. Just the way it's structured, and like I said, the cheesiness, and it is pretty much like, there is a little twist kind of at the end that I didn't see coming, but, you know, a little bit extra there at the end, but it definitely kind of follows a typical script that you would think, you know, but again, that's like an 80s thing. Like, that's just, I don't know. It's great. Like, it really, really is a great movie, a fun movie. You know, it's not a movie that you're going to think about and, you know, like I do with, you know, Star Wars movies or the MCU, and we're dissecting it and all these things. No. It's not that, but it's just a fun movie to see. It's the classic. I mean, I'm not going to say it's like a Michael Bay movie. You know, I've always said that about Michael Bay movies. Like, yeah, they're kind of cheesy and whatever, but that's just, they're exciting to see in a big screen. It's on that level where, you know, that's what it is. But I mean, even to the point where, you know, they're in the very beginning, they're showing people's names kind of like they all on the screen, showing all the actors like they used to do back in the 80s. It just leans into the fact that it is a sequel to an 80s movie and does it right. I don't know. It was awesome. Go see the movie. Go see Top Gun Maverick. And I would say, even if you haven't seen the original Top Gun, I mean, there's a lot in here of throwbacks and references. And I mean, it really is a direct sequel to that movie. But you're still going to get something out of it because it has its own story. And, you know, with this new cast of Top Gun pilots kind of thrown in there with Tom Cruise, they have their own mission that they're going on. And it's great. You can't help but cheer in the theater. It's awesome. Switching gears a little bit to, let's kind of stick with the 80s theme, but it's a little bit more of the newer stuff. That is Stranger Things, season 4, I guess part 1, are we calling this? My wife and I binged it this week. My kids were actually with my parents in Florida this week, so we kind of had time to just binge and go to the movies just ourselves and all that. And so we got through this part 1. It's 7 episodes, and they're pretty beefy episodes. I mean, I think the first few were like 1 hour 4, 1 hour 5, and by the end, it was, I think the last episode that's available is 1 hour 40, I want to say. And I know the rest of the episodes coming here in a couple weeks are over 2 hours. I think the finale is clocking in at over 2.5. But once again, you know, they deliver on so much of just those characters and capturing kind of that spirit of the 1980s. This season in particular really doubles down on the horror side of things. The first episode kind of gets you pulled in, kind of catch up where everybody is and what's been going on since season 3. And then at the end, threw something at us, and my wife and I were just like, oh my God. Like, it, when you see kind of what's happening to some of these people in this town, it's a bit shocking when you first see it. I mean, eventually you kind of get used to it a little bit, or you know what to expect. But when you don't know at first, it was pretty violent. It was pretty brutal. Like, it was pretty shocking when we saw it. So I would tell folks, you know, obviously if you're a Stranger Things fan, you probably already have watched this. But it's great. That show just continues to be one of the best shows on Netflix, at least for my wife and I, in terms of just really enjoying it and loving it. It kind of hits everything we love, from the, you know, Goonie-esque relationship with the kids, to just something in the 80s with that nostalgia, to just the horror, mystery, sci-fi thing, if you want to call it. But what's really cool too this time, and especially now with us kind of being so embedded with D&D, is that, and they always have followed it in suit with the D&D, like the Demogorgon or the Mind Flayer, and even the kids, you know, playing D&D and kind of figuring out what's going on with the Upside Down and all that, all being kind of driven from Dungeons and Dragons. This season is even more so. There's a new, like, DM for their group. They have a little new D&D club that they're in. there's one whole, like, montage scene where something is happening elsewhere, and it's flashing to their D&D game, and they're straight up, like, there's probably a 5 or 6 minute montage of like slow-mo rolling a D20 like happening. And it's, for me as a D&D player and fan, it was just awesome to see that, you know, kind of them really just putting that out there. I, you know, haven't really seen any response to that, but I think a lot of people are probably really enjoying that, that they're really doubling down. And the villain, I'm not gonna spoil it here, but you know, you had the Mind Flayer, we had the Demogorgon. We're still kind of sticking in the D&D realm. I'm just going to put that out there. I know this is probably a known thing because I've seen it kind of posted everywhere who the villain is. But those that know, we're still sticking with D&D, right? But yeah, go watch season 4. And if you're a Stranger Things fan, I don't know why you haven't up to this point already. And I can't wait for the rest of it to come out because it's they leave you on a cliffhanger, of course, and you got to see how it's all going to tie together and end. Switching gears away from that and just a little bit on the Summer Games Fest. Yesterday we had a stream. Jeff Keighley did his typical thing that he always does. And, you know, the Summer Games Fest now is essentially replacing E3. Jeff Keighley was out there before the stream to say, hey, you know, we just kind of want to set some expectations. We don't have any major bombshell announcements coming out per se, but, you know, just want to let everybody know that there's going to be some world premieres, but a lot of what you're going to see is updates on games that have already been, you know, kind of announced. And that's what a lot of it was. A couple of the big highlights for me. Number one, they're making a remake of The Last of Us Part 1, which I think is cool. You know, I'm not going to probably buy it. I played through that game. I had my experience with that game. I played a little bit of the remastered that they put out that came out on the PS4. You know, I don't really know if I need to revisit that, especially the fact that it's $70. That's right. You heard me right. They're charging $70 for that. I think you'd be better off just getting the remaster. You can probably get that for cheap. And actually, I think one even say it was, wasn't it a Games of Gold at some point? Or not Games of Gold, PlayStation, a PS Plus game at some point. So I'm sure a lot of people already own it. $70 is a bit much. I mean, I saw some comparisons in it. The lighting is better. You know, they've updated the resources and things like that. It is coming to the PC at some point as well, too, which is kind of cool. So, you know, Sony really doubling down on the PC side of things, which is, you know, kind of interesting. But that was some big news. A game that we had heard about but hadn't seen much for, but we saw some gameplay that probably for me was the takeaway game that I'm like, I need to play that. And that is the Calypso Protocol. It's from some of the original developers of the original Dead Space, which Dead Space is just, oh, I love that game. It's so good. I mean, Dead Space 1, Dead Space 2 is great as well. Dead Space 3, I could take it or leave it. They got a little bit of multiplayer in there, but that original Dead Space and Dead Space 2 are just freaking incredible. You want to talk about just an awesome horror game, you know, kind of scratches every itch of sci-fi, that creepiness, scary, gory, like it's wild. And the gameplay they showed yesterday was pretty crazy and ended very, very graphically with a very graphic death for that character. And I mean, I was watching it and I'm like, this just looks like Dead Space, right? I mean, we know they are remaking the original Dead Space and I mean, that looks like it's gonna be awesome too. But that was kind of interesting here. It was like, man, like this really has that Dead Space DNA within it. So I can't wait for that game. I can't remember what they said with that. Was that a December game or was that next year? I can't remember. But either way, that game looks awesome. And I'm definitely going to be playing that when that comes out. The other kind of big takeaway for me news was, number one, we now have a release date for Shredder's Revenge, which is literally around the corner, June 16th. So the game will be out June 16th. Be able to play some Shredder's Revenge. And the other awesome news with that is it's day one on Game Pass. So we're going to be able to play Shredder's Revenge, day one on Game Pass if you are a Game Pass subscriber. So, you know, I was already probably planning on getting it on Xbox. I was kind of on the fence. We've been kind of talking in the Discord. I don't think they've said whether it's cross-play in terms of, you know, like can PlayStation play with Xbox. I'm assuming it's going to be PC and Xbox, though, at least, because it's going to be on Game Pass. So I would assume that. But the other cool news with that is it's 6 players. So all those old Ninja Turtle arcade games were 4 players. This is 6. And they finally revealed Casey Jones. Casey Jones is going to be in the game. So that's super awesome. But those were kind of the big takeaways for me, the big games. The funny thing, I mentioned the Callisto Protocol, was there were multiple, like, derelict space hangar ships / bases on planet moons horror type games. Like there were multiple games like that yesterday. I want to say there's at least 3, which was kind of crazy, including Callisto Protocol. But that was the one that really kind of, you know, stuck out to me the most. Really looking forward to seeing what else is coming, and especially with Xbox's event. I know over the next couple of days we're still going to get some more events in that happening. So keep your eyes peeled to all the typical gaming channels, because I'm sure there's going to be some exciting stuff coming out. So that's going to do it for me here today, guys. Like I said, next week we're going to be on vacation. So Monday, look in the regular feed. That's where you'll get the Battle of Clastonia dropping there. Wednesday, I'll still probably get up bright and early, even though we're on vacation, and watch the latest episode of Obi-Wan. Which, you know what? I actually had forgotten. I was thinking about doing a Ms. Marvel podcast, for Thursday, a spoiler. But after watching it, I don't know if I want to dedicate a show per se yet to it. But that was something I meant to mention here on the show too. So yeah, Ms. Marvel's out. And it's great. It's fantastic. I mean, the show kind of blew me away as to how much I really enjoyed it. And, at the end, you get her kind of getting her powers. Well, I don't want to spoil too much, but it's great. Go watch it. They're really kind of capturing the character, her family life, kind of that struggle. I mean, that's one thing Marvel always excels at, is really capturing, and not even just a live action, but just Marvel Comics in general, capturing the characters, the personal life, the struggles they have, personal struggles. They've always been great at that. And, they're really doing it here with the show. So highly recommend you check that out. And it's just crazy, right? Having these two shows dropping on Wednesdays, Obi-Wan and Ms. Marvel. I mean, we only have it for a couple more weeks, but it's crazy. So Wednesday show will be Obi-Wan. We'll be talking about that on Wednesday. So be on the lookout for that. Well, that's it, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. Have a good weekend. And until next time, we'll catch you later.